As you know, this occurred Wednesday, September 3rd, yesterday. At approximately 9:19 p.m., RPD tactical officers stopped a vehicle. When they first observed the vehicle, it contained two people. However, when they stopped it, there was only one person in the vehicle. At about 9:20 p.m., Officer DePaula and Officer Pearson arrived as backup officers for this vehicle stop. At 9:22 p.m., Officer DePaula and Officer Pearson began to search the area for the second individual who had been observed in the vehicle. At this time, Officer DePaula was driving the vehicle and Officer Pearson was the passenger. At about 9:25 p.m., Officer DePaula and Officer Pearson observed an individual matching the description of the second occupant of the vehicle. Officer Pearson approached the person who matched the description. This individual immediately fled on foot southbound on Hudson Avenue. Officer Pearson pursued this individual on foot while Officer DePaula turned the police vehicle around to assist in the pursuit. Officer Pearson caught up to the suspect at Hudson Avenue and Agnes Street. At that point, the suspect shot Officer Pearson one time with a 25 caliber handgun. This wound ultimately proved to be fatal. At that time, Officer Pearson and the suspect both fell to the ground. As they fell, the suspect's 25 caliber handgun discharged a second time. We believe the second shot from the suspect's handgun struck an innocent bystander, Jamal Bowler, 24 years of age, causing a serious but non-life-threatening injury. The suspect then got up and continued to flee on foot. By that time, Officer DePaula exited the police vehicle and pursued the suspect. As the suspect was running, he turned to fire his weapon at Officer DePaula. At that point, Officer DePaula then fired one round at the suspect with his RPD-issued handgun. Officer DePaula's shot struck the suspect, causing a non-life-threatening injury. Officer DePaula then apprehended the suspect. At about this point, other RPD officers arrived on the scene and then placed Officer Pearson in a police vehicle and transported him to Rochester General Hospital. Officer Pearson was pronounced by the Rochester General medical staff at 10:45 p.m. Both the suspect and Mr. Bowler were transported to Strong Memorial Hospital for treatment. Bowler was treated and released. The suspect underwent surgery at Strong Memorial Hospital and is currently admitted to the hospital under police guard. The suspect has been identified as Thomas Johnson III, a male, 38 years of age. We later determined that Mr. Johnson has an outstanding parole warrant. Now I'm going to turn this over to District Attorney Sandra Dorley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, and thank you everyone for being here. And before I start, you know, Mrs. Pearson, my heart goes out to you and your family. And as you can see around this room, you have a tremendous family in law enforcement, and they will be with you to support you throughout this entire process. At 4:51 p.m., a felony complaint was filed in Rochester City Court against Thomas Johnson III. There are 8 counts in the felony complaint. I will simply read them to you. The first count is aggravated murder, and that is in violation of Penal Law Section 125.26. The second count is attempted aggravated murder. The third, fourth, and fifth counts are 3 separate counts of assault in the first degree under 3 separate theories for the injuries sustained by Jamal Bowler. The last 3 counts are 3 separate counts of criminal possession of a weapon in the second and third degree. is alleged during the crime that the defendant had an armed firearm, which was defaced, and he had a prior conviction which prohibited him from having the firearm. After we proceed with this press conference today, we're going to go over to Stroh Memorial Hospital, and Mr. Johnson is going to be arraigned on the felony complaint. At that point, I believe he will be entering a plea of not guilty. The matter will be set down for a preliminary hearing. It's the intention of the Monroe County Grand Jury, the Monroe County DA's office, to present this case to a Monroe County Grand Jury prior to the preliminary hearing date. I do have a copy of the felony complaint, and I will provide it to anyone in the media, but I'm going to do that only after Mr. Johnson has been arraigned at Stroh Memorial Hospital. There's been an allegation that there are prior convictions, and I can tell you a little bit about Mr. Johnson. Again, his date of birth is 2/24/1976. His latest felony conviction was from 2001, and it was attempted robbery in the second degree, where he was sentenced to a 3-year term in the New York State Department of Corrections with 5 years post-release. When he was released on that sentence, we've learned that he was violated on parole. He was returned to the Department of Corrections and was since released to our community. His maximum expiration date, according to the Division of Parole, would have been December 23rd of 2018. He also has prior misdemeanors that occurred within Monroe County. But interestingly, from the state of Florida, he has a charge for battery on a police officer, and we are looking into that offense. Those are the charges that will be contained in the felony complaint, the 8 charges. That's a little bit about Mr. Johnson's history. And again, we'll be able to provide a felony complaint once he has been arraigned at Stroh Memorial Hospital. And again, my heart goes out to the Pearson family, and again, to the wonderful members of the Rochester law enforcement community. You know, the moment that this crime occurred last night, right after 9 o'clock, every member of law enforcement from throughout Monroe County was there to support the Rochester Police Department and provide whatever aid they could. And as a result, we have a suspect in custody, and we're going to be able to pursue this prosecution. I can tell you, as charged now in the felony complaint, if Mr. Johnson is convicted of each and every offense, he is looking at the possibility of life without parole. Thank you very much.
All right, myself and the district attorney will take a few questions and try to answer them if we can.
If any, Senator, can I ask
sure.
You said the attempted robbery was 2001.
I'm sorry, the attempted robbery 2011.
Okay. 2011. He was originally charged with robbery second, displaying a firearm. Can you explain why he was able to plead to an attempted robbery and make that a D felony?
And you know what, I looked at the file before I came to the press conference today, and I am ordering the transcript. It does look like it was scheduled for a Huntley hearing before Judge Geraci when he was here in county court, and something happened, and I'm not really quite sure what happened, but he had pled guilty to the attempted robbery in the second degree at that time, a waiver of appeal, and he was sentenced to the 3 years in the New York State Department of Corrections.
Would there be any explanation as to why that was allowed to happen, considering his felony arrest and conviction?
Yeah. At this point, I'm looking into a Berkeley. Well, you know, get back to how do you calculate how much time someone does on a determinate sentence? It looked like he was released from the Department of Corrections less than the 3 years of the determinate sentence. While he was out, there was a parole violation. He was again returned to the New York State Department of Correction, and I believe he was released sometime in August of this year.
Well, what's your opinion?
You know, I think if someone is sentenced to 3 years and that's what a judge issues, then that person should be serving every moment of those 3 years.
Two quick questions.
Yes.
Can you explain what the initial traffic stop was for?
In this particular case, I don't want to really go into the evidence or the investigation at this time.
Speeding, was the people red
yeah,
light?
At this point, I'm not going to answer that.
And the other person in the car, can you talk about what happened to that other person?
Again, it's still a pending investigation. Thank you.
Can you clarify if this was a routine traffic stop, like violating any traffic, or were you looking for this particular evidence?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not going to comment. Yeah. Yes, Gary.
Can you say what he had done while he was on parole now that he was being sought for? Was he being sought for something law-related now also?
The information that we have right now, there was a warrant out as being a parole absconder, which means he wasn't reporting back to parole and wasn't where he should have been.
Just backing up to the earlier armed robbery, I made the wrong exception. Did he have a gun, or did it actually just, he had his hand in his pocket, and when he was chased down, there was no gun?
The allegation was that he displays what appears to be, reading the paperwork, it does appear that he may have had his hand mimicking a gun in his pocket. A gun was not found or recovered during that 2011 investigation.
Was a gun found and recovered at the scene last night?
Sorry. Yes, we recovered a 25 caliber handgun at the scene, casings. At the time the gun was recovered, it was still loaded with live rounds. No.
Was it a legal handgun?
I can say this as a convicted felon, he could not legally possess a handgun in the state of New York.
Chief, you thought investigators searched the house in the corner of Warsaw and Hudson. Tell us what you think of that phone there.
I'm not going to comment on that now.
Chief, did the suspect fire at both officers? Did he fire first before the officer returned to fire?
At this point, we believe two shots were fired from the suspect's 25 caliber handgun. The first shot struck Officer Pearson. We believe the second shot struck the innocent bystander.
Chief, did Officer Pearson ever fire a shot?
Officer Pearson never had the opportunity to draw his weapon and did not fire a shot. Well, within seconds, as I said, both Officer Pearson and the suspect fell to the ground after the first shot. As they fell to the ground, the second shot was discharged. Suspect got up and continued to run, attempting to flee. By that point, Officer DiPaolo had exited his vehicle and began to pursue on foot. Yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Officer DiPaolo fired one shot at the suspect, striking him, causing non-life-threatening injuries, at which point Officer DiPaolo was able to take him into custody. Yes, sir.
Coming back to the earlier shots, so you said he dropped the gun, or he fell with the gun and it discharged?
Didn't say he dropped the gun.
Sorry, he fell with the gun and it discharged.
Yes.
I mean, were they close, or was that just falling because they were pursued, or
what? I'm not going to speculate as to why they fell. Based on the evidence we have, we believe both Officer Pearson and the officer, Officer Pearson and the suspect fell to the ground after the first shot was discharged.
Did you know how close they were when the suspect fired the first shot?
They were in close proximity.
Are you able to say where Officer Pearson was hit?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Are you able to say where the suspect was hit?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Chief, an outstanding amount of support here. I know you're trying to get people across the country. Can you go into what happens next? What kind of support you have? What the people have to go for?
Well, of course, our primary concern and focus now is for Amy and her family and Officer Pearson's loved ones. So we will do everything we can to support them, to help them, to be with them. We will take care of our own police officer family in this law enforcement community. We will be in the process of making plans to go forward give this hero a fitting service as befits his courageous act of sacrifice. So I know you're all interested in that. As you can imagine, we've been very much focused on this investigation and bringing it to a successful conclusion. We still have much, much work to do on the investigation. The District Attorney's Office, who has been with us side by side here, has much work to do. But really, as we leave now, a number of us on the command staff will be now going to starting to focus on what comes next, and we will get that information out.
Will some of that, Chief, include review in terms of seeing what can be done to make sure that this does not happen again the next time the incident arrives?
Anytime we have a critical incident, when the investigation is done and the facts are in, we always review it. We will do an after-action review. We will look at this situation from beginning to end. And if there's any lessons to be learned from that, we will learn them and we will incorporate that into our policies and training.
Can you discuss, obviously the family's working on for you, express your feelings and what's going through your mind right now?
Well, this is a day that no chief ever wants to face. And right now, my job is to stay focused on my job, to lead this department, this wonderful department, and these wonderful police officers, and forward to do what we have to do. So I'll have time for some personal reflection later. Well, I think the mayor addressed that earlier. Certainly, I think what you just said speaks for itself and bears some very close scrutiny.
Thank you.